Welcome to Where the Weird Ones Are.
Please.
Every time I speak, I want the truth to come out.
Powerful figures in Hollywood, as well as powerful politicians, who are in fact not human, they're reptiles or they're lizards or perhaps extraterrestrials.
It is a human. It's a Sasquatch.
Go ahead and run. Run home and cry to mama.
Let's get weird.
What's up, you fucking weirdos? Welcome to another episode of Where the Weird Ones Are. My name is Kevin, but you probably already knew that, and if you didn't, now you do. Today's episode is Conspiracy Tuesday number 16, and it features two of my very good friends, Oren Felix, who is the co-host on Bizarre Encounters, and David, who is the co-host of One Nothing Podcast, as well as my morning show, Weird Java in the Morning. Yeah, so we get into some topics of the early American history, specifically the missing colony of Roanoke. So there's a lot of theories about a lot of different things throughout history, and the theory that I support is the one that I think is correct. I'm not saying that just because I'm supporting that theory, it means it's correct. I think it's the most logical one. But yeah, please check out Bizarre Encounters and One Nothing Podcast, both phenomenal shows. Both David and Oren, fantastic guys. Love them to death. Happy to have been able to share this space with them, and extremely grateful for their time to record this episode. Now, quick shout out to the sponsor, Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot's Breath, freeze-dried garlic. Yeah, man, I have to say it every time, but it is 10 times better than anything that you're going to get at the store for garlic powders. I put it on everything. I highly recommend it. So go check it out, flavorsforest.com/weird. You can also follow them on Instagram, Flavors Forest. So Nelson and Matt, fantastic dudes. Happy to be working with them. Other than that, please like, follow, share, subscribe, leave a rating and review. Go show Oren and David some love as well. They definitely deserve it. Like, follow, share, subscribe, leave a rating or review. I think I might have already just said that, but that's okay. If your catcher doesn't allow you to leave a review, you can do so on the website Where the Weird Ones Are, podcast.com. You can also get merch, hot sauce, coffee, and soon I will be providing supplements and possibly like a gym clothing line. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for this conversation. But if you want to contribute, or you have a topic that you want to get a round table on for Conspiracy Tuesday, or you have in any encounters with anything, paranormal, cryptid, spirituality, mental health, or you prefer to be on your own, episode with a conspiracy, that's fine too. please hit me up at wheretheweirdonesare@gmail.com. You can also get at me on Instagram, where_theweirdonesare, and on Facebook, where the weird ones are. Yeah, I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your stories. Love to chat with you. Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to be recorded, you don't want your face recorded, that's fine too. We have ways to get around that. That's totally fine. Audio only. If you don't want your face and your name out there, you don't have to do it like that. So just putting it out there for anybody who's actually might be interested and just don't want people to know who they are. That's, you know, when you do, because look, when we tell these kind of stories, people think we're crazy, you know, and I get it. So, but anyways, I really hope you enjoy the Conspiracy Tuesday this week. Hopefully trying to get some more done. Haven't put a story time out for the Patreon members in a while, so I apologize for that. But I have one in the works, so hopefully that one will be done soon. I love all of you. I'm grateful that you're here. Like I say all the time, you know, if you weren't here, I'd still be doing this. But I am so happy that you are, because that helps me out a lot. So I love the support. I love the reviews. It really means the world to me. So thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for being a viewer. And, you know, it's a strange world out there. It's a strange world out there. Why don't we get into this Conspiracy Tuesday on the missing Roanoke colony, shall we?
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Hello, we are Rachel and Heather, the hosts of Like Mother, Like Murder podcast.
And you're listening to Kevin on Where the Weird Ones Are.
Oh. Well, hello, buddies. Welcome to another Conspiracy Tuesday. I have some of my good friends here today, and we're going to get into some shit. If you're not familiar with the missing colony of Roanoke, we will inform you a little bit. So real quick first, my good friend Oren, he's one of my favorite people. Actually, both of these guys are pretty much my favorite people. Both David from Down the Rabbit Hole, Oren, he's on a Bizarre Encounters podcast. He's a co-host over there. But I'll let Oren introduce himself and let you all know where you can find him and his show, in case you're not familiar. So go ahead, Oren.
All right, so just a little background about me. I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, have kind of always been interested in paranormal and aliens and cryptids and anything weird. Moved to Raleigh, North Carolina for college, been here ever since. Probably 5 or 6 years ago at this point, I had what I would consider a recovered memory about like a Men in Black encounter I had as a child. And that kind of got me really researching and looking into the paranormal seriously. And about that same time, my partner Jenny was having some kind of weird paranormal experiences at the apartment she used to live at. So, you know, we kind of got into all this stuff seriously together and started going to shows and conventions and whatnot. Got to meet a lot of cool people, including Kevin. And one thing led to the next, and Shane Jones, our mutual friend, invited me to be a co-host on his podcast, Bizarre Inquiries, and I've been doing that for almost a couple years now.
Nice. Awesome. I love it. Awesome. It's also a really good show, I think. So.
Well, thank
I
you.
I enjoy listening to it. I enjoy the comedic relief that you provide. So it's a lot of fun, and you bring a lot of fact. Like, you do your research on the topics you discuss, so I appreciate that as well.
Well, I try. I mean, you can have fun and not take serious topics too seriously. I mean, sometimes the topic lends itself more to being serious than others, but yeah, we try to mm-hmm. have a little bit of fun with it, and like you said, still present some facts and just give people good information, but not in like a super dry textbooky type way.
Yeah. Which I want to say the textbooky way is a terrible way to go about it. Like, you, I mean, you get like the facts and shit, but it's so like, it's hard to pay attention to. So a comparison. So at my job right now, when we do safety meetings, they do a slideshow and they have mm-hmm. a voice. The safety guy records his voice to the slideshow, and he basically just reads you the words that are on the screen. And I'm just like, this is like, I don't know. I could just read this myself.
No, anybody can
read it to me.
A Wikipedia page, but you got to put a little bit of energy in there. So,
but anyway,
thank you for inviting me on. This is a subject we kind of been kicking around a little bit, so I'm excited to finally do it. And David, it's nice to finally talk to you face to face. I don't know if we've ever actually talked personally. I know we've gone back and forth on social media and whatnot a little bit, it's nice to actually talk to you.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you, Oren. It's an honor to meet you.
Well, thank you. Likewise.
I have to ask, if you don't mind, Kevin, before I get into that, I need to ask because it's hurting my brain and I need to know. Oren, you say you had an encounter with Men in Black. At what age was that?
So I'm going to run through the story as quickly as I can.
Yes.
But I was probably like 8 or 9, I'd say. I grew up across the creek from a very large military base. And so we always had like helicopters and things like that flying around our house. And mm-hmm. one day, this white van pulled up in our yard. And my recollection is it being just like a very generic Chevy Astro van, like, you know, mid-90s model. And these two guys I remember them having like white short sleeve shirts and mm-hmm. black pants, black sunglasses, black ties, the whole thing, got out of the van and were like looking around our yard. And my mom said, you know, take your sister, go hide in the closet. I'll come back and get you guys. And so a few minutes later, I don't know how long it was, my mom came back and got us, and but nothing was ever said about this encounter ever again. Like, we didn't talk about it that day when my dad got home from work. We didn't talk about it. And then, funny enough, I was watching like an Ancient Aliens episode, whatever, 4, 5, 6 years ago about Men in Black encounters, and just something in that episode sparked me. It was like, oh my God, that happened to me. And then, long story short, I asked my mom, I was like, hey, did this thing happen? I remember this. I need to know if this actually happened. And she said, yeah, that totally happened. And there's more to the story, and then like kind of stuff that I've dug into since then, and some pretty interesting stuff in the area too.
I may have seen this on your show, Kevin, right? He spoke up about this on your show, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My question, Oren, is did you get a good look at these guys?
So, again, this was almost 30 years ago. And
I remember things you can remember. There are certain things when you see it, never leaves your memory. And from a lot of the reports I've been digging in about Men in Black, there's some people that see the faces, and they're like completely bare, no hair, no eyebrows, nothing. Very strange looking men, very tall men, bizarre. Did you remember anything like that?
So I didn't get that close a look to of them. Like I said, the van kind of pulled in our yard, and they were like walking a perimeter around our yard, kind of like by the water. So I used to think, you know, maybe they were looking for something. They had lost something in like one of these military experiments, right, or testing or something like that.
Yeah.
Now I almost think they were trying to see what we could see, like into the base from our property. But anyway, all that's to say, you know, there's kind of two schools of thought when it comes to the Men in Black. There's the more John Keel, ultra-terrestrial, weird type situation like you're talking about. And then there's the more kind of down to earth. These are just government agents. Nothing that I saw struck me as them not being just human beings. So I don't think this was like the John Keel Men in Black. I think this was truly just government agents that were either looking for something or seeing what we could see from our property.
Wow. Very interesting. I love it.
Well, I tried to give the Cliff Notes version there, but yeah, if you ever want me to go into more detail, I'd be happy to do that in the future. Sweet. So
yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's a good story. I enjoy it. So, but it would be hard to believe at this point for any of the listeners or viewers to not know who David is, but we'll give David the floor and let him know a little bit about himself and what it is he does and where you can find him.
Hey, I'm David from Down the Rabbit Hole, co-host of One Nothing Podcast and also co-host of Weird Java in the Morning. Happens every Sunday morning. Make sure you're there. Yeah, I run an Instagram page. I also have Facebook, X, YouTube, all that stuff. And I generally post videos that I find interesting, that I think is entertaining. And I started like a couple of years ago now. I'm really into the paranormal. It's one of my passions. It's really interesting to me. I love having conversations with people about it, because those seem to be the most intense conversations, you know, when you're really talking about something in your past. And I used to watch these TV shows. They would have all the videos on it. And I noticed that when I'd watch a whole episode, there was maybe 30 minutes out of an hour or maybe longer of videos that I didn't find all that interesting, you know, like lights in the sky. That's great. Stuff like that. But so I thought I'm going to start posting my own videos that I find interesting, and let's see what happens. You know, it's just start off as a passion project, just for me really. And, it's kind of blown up right now. We're at 215,000 followers across all platforms.
Wow.
So yeah, it's really, I didn't expect this, but hey, here we are. And, now I'm lucky enough to be on shows like yours, Kevin.
Well, I'm grateful that you're here. I appreciate your friendship as well as Oren's, you know, and, it's been a lot of fun. Never thought that, you know, I thought I would just be this freaking guy in the basement fucking by himself all the time, fucking just talking into a microphone. And I never realize that I was going to make so many friends. So I'm super grateful for both of you. And, it's been a lot of fun. Actually, I don't know. I can't remember if I said it in one of my intros, but Oren and I was just at Cryptid Halloween 3, and him and his girlfriend Jenny decided to accompany me to the casino for my very first time ever being at a casino.
And we popped your cherry.
We did. You did. It was a lot of fun. I still have my cash out vent voucher. So hopefully if Dave invites me back, I will be right back at that casino trying to freaking make more money off of that voucher. So
I mean,
we'll
you're
see.
Up to what, like $11, something like that?
Yeah, it was $11. So
I mean, we're big spenders over there.
I think my favorite part was just like walking around with a beer in my hand. Like that was kind of cool. And I did one slot with it was like a German bar lady with her boobies out, kind of. And that's where I made money, and I was up, and I should have just stopped right then, you know. And then I went to another machine, and you know, maybe my luck is just with cartoon big-breasted women. I don't know.
Well, you know, you say we're up money, but when you consider how many beers we drank, we lost a lot of money one way or the other. See, that's the thing about casinos. They trick you into thinking you won money. It's like, no, we've drank 7 beers. We didn't win anything.
And that's
true. You guys pay
that's
for true. Those beers?
We did. Yeah. We're not high rollers. We had to pay for our drinks.
Well, if you go to Vegas, I don't know if you guys have been to Vegas, but all your drinks in the casino are free. They want you to drink, so they provide it for free. So any drink you want, they'll bring it out to you wherever you're at. Yeah. So go to Vegas. Don't spend money on beer.
Well, speaking of, my son will be 21 in 5 years, and that is something that he wants to do, is to go to Vegas. So
it's a good time, man. I love it. I've been there 10 times. Great.
Wow. Oh wow! I've literally never been once, but so I actually invited Jenny and Oren to come out for my son's birthday on his 21st. Oh. So we should. Brayden loves Jenny and Oren like so much. So
we love him too. He's a sweetheart. We've really taken a shine to him.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's been another thing that's come out of this podcast stuff, this journey, is to watch him blossom and become more interested in stuff. And like, he's come out of his shell quite a bit, because he was a pretty shy kid too. And now he wants to do all these events with me, and he's really taken he's really taken a liking to trying to sell people my hot sauce.
Yeah, the first time we met him, he spoke like maybe 3 words the entire weekend. And like this last time we hung out, like he's cracking jokes, and he's just a joy to be around. And we were talking about that. Like, he doesn't even seem like a kid. He's just like part of the gang at this point. So you've done a great job with him, and it's always a joy to see both of you guys. And like you said, just seeing him kind of come out of his shell has been awesome just in the few times we've got to see him.
So Kevin, how long did it take you to kind of get out of your shell? Is that a recent thing for you? Cause I know you started your podcast, a couple of years ago or something like that.
Yeah. So it'll be 3 years in April. It took the year that when I started the podcast, it took me almost a year to even, it took me like 6 months to actually invite somebody that I didn't know, like to start trying to reach out to people that I didn't know. Cause I did my first 2 episodes were with friends. And then I did a third episode by myself. And then, one of my friends was like, you should ask, cause Gina was like one of my first followers on Instagram.
Mine too.
One of my buddies was like looking at her profile, and he's like, you should ask her to be on your show, like she'd be great. And so I did, and it was really hard. Like, I was like, oh, she says no. And then like, I fucked up the recording the first time, so we had to do it a second time, and I felt really bad and stuff like that. So it took me almost until the following November to really get the ball rolling. So it was a good 7 months before I really started to like be like, all right, just, you know, if they say no, they say no, no pressure. If they don't answer, that's fine too. Worst thing that's going to happen is either they ignore you or they say they're not interested. And ever since then, the more people I talk to, the more I feel like more comfortable I am talking to people I don't know. So it's been a lot of fun. So
that's great, man. We should get Mike Tyson on here, have a conversation with him.
I'd love to. You know, I've reached out to a few people. I've reached out to Theo Vaughn, Jim Brewer, Macaulay Culkin, Kesha. And there's one other person I can't think of right at the moment. Oh, Tom DeLong. I've reached out to all of them. Haven't heard back from any of them. So,
well, it seems like Tyson will agree to do anything these days. So, I mean, you could probably get him.
Probably. He's actually pretty, like, fucking knowledgeable. Like, he's pretty wise in a way. Yeah, but I feel like this fight was, like, a humiliation ritual. Like, it was meant to, like, humiliate him, like, on purpose. So, but I'm sure he made a shit ton of money.
Yeah, 20
and he's
million.
60 so. Years old.
Yeah. I should have bet on the fight going the distance, because a lot of people were betting on knockouts in the first couple of rounds, and it looked like where the money was at was betting on the fight going all 8 rounds, and I should have fucking put money on it, and I didn't, and now I feel bad, but it's okay. I could have made quite a bit of money. But
if we were at the casino, you could have done that. You could have placed that bet directly there. That we're bringing it all back around.
You could have. All right, so let's get into our topic today. So we're discussing the missing colony of Roanoke. A lot of weird things happen around there. So Oren, I know you've got some notes on it. If you are interested in starting it off, that'd be fucking fantastic, bro.
Yeah, I'll just kind of run through a little bit of the background, and you guys can jump in whenever you want to, and we'll kind of go from there. But the lost colony of Roanoke, and we're going to talk, maybe if you guys want to, a little bit about some other kind of legends and folklore surrounding this tale. But yeah. On April 27th of 1584, two British ships landed on Roanoke Island, which is on the North Carolina Outer Banks. The ships were sent by Sir Walter Raleigh, who the city of Raleigh, which I live in, is named after. Mm-hmm. And it was for the purpose of establishing a new colony in the New World. They found several Native American villages and tribes when they landed, and the ships returned to England with two natives. And these natives kind of like worked for the royal families, not necessarily as like sideshows, but they had like very prominent positions. But it was kind of like, oh, look how exotic these people are, and look, you know, what treasures and mysteries the New World has. But anyway, so after that, Queen Elizabeth approved of the location to make a new colony, like a permanent colony, and she appointed Raleigh as Chief Lord of the Territory, which is like a great title. Kevin, you should be Chief Lord of the Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. But then Sir Walter Raleigh planned a second expedition, and that consisted of 7 ships and 150 men. And the second expedition reached Roanoke on July 27th of 1585, so a little more than a year later. There's a gentleman named Ralph Lane, and he was appointed governor, and he began constructing a fort and a bunch of like shelters and buildings and whatnot on the colony. And he had several run-ins with the natives, and so this led to like supply ships being delayed coming to the colony. So there's another man named Sir Francis Drake, and he arrived with 23 ships on June the 9th, and many of those initial 150 men, including Governor Lane himself, the guy who was supposed to be in charge of this colony, they all returned to England with him. So basically, you know, they gave this thing a try. Between the inhospitable land and the natives attacking them and stuff, they basically said, we're out, we're going back to England.
Yeah, the sandbars and stuff to the Roanoke Island were like they couldn't navigate how shallow some of those parts are around those
exactly.
Islands.
So they had
to anchor pretty far out and like canoe all their fucking supplies and all that. And not only did I think when they like first established tried to establish the colony, it was late in the season too, right?
Yeah, so like just basically anything that could have gone wrong did. Like,
right.
They constantly had trouble getting supplies in. Like you said, when they tried to set everything up, it was like at the end of the like summer growing season. So basically, they didn't have enough food to sustain the colony throughout even that first winter.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of jumping back in, so the supply ships actually arrived 15 days like after most of these guys left, which again, just anything that could go wrong did, like just crazy timing. And they found that basically the colony was deserted at that point. The fort was abandoned. They couldn't find anybody. But in 1587, so a couple years later, Sir Walter Raleigh planned another expedition, and this was led by a man named Governor John White. And this consisted of 117 men, but they also sent like women and children this time, with the thoughts that, you know, if they sent families over, they'd get more established and it wouldn't be just like this military outpost.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the people included in this group was John White's pregnant daughter, Eleanor, and his son-in-law, Anias, I believe is how it's pronounced, Dare. And so they built another fort and shelters and kind of rebuilt the infrastructure that was there. And on August 18th of 1587, White's granddaughter, Virginia Dare, was born, and she became the first English child born in the Americas. And of course, like the state, commonwealth, whatever, of Virginia is named after Virginia Dare. So do y'all have anything else you want to throw in before I round this out?
I just had a question, if you don't mind. There,
yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Wasn't there a company called the Virginia something or other of London that was started to basically the was it King George that or whoever it was that said go ahead and do this, or the Queen Elizabeth I kind of?
I'm not sure about that. Like, I think you know, Queen Elizabeth was like very involved in like the establishment of the Roanoke colony. She kind of, you know, gave the seal of approval for them to do all this. But as far as Virginia, I'm honestly not sure about that.
There's a company that was used to start this whole production right before they sailed for the New World. They created some sort of company, and it was called the Virginia Company of London. And apparently what they did is they collected money from Londoners who were interested in like building the New World and whatnot. And so I guess that's where Virginia came into play as far as the name of the state, which I thought was really interesting. I didn't know that, you know, that's what would happen, but I was looking that up and I found that pretty interesting. And
yeah,
also,
I hadn't heard that side of the story. I'll have to dig a little bit more into that. That's very interesting.
Kind of cool.
It was founded in 1606, so it was after the Roanoke.
The company, you're saying?
Yes, the company. And then it was defunct. I don't know.
It was defunct after.
In May of 1624. So it is only like 20 years. Not 20 years. It was like fucking 15 years.
I must have different information that it was used to fund the expedition, but.
Well. Yeah, no, it didn't fund the it couldn't have funded this particular expedition because it was founded afterwards. But also Elizabeth, the Virgin Queen, when she sent these expeditions to colonize over there, she made it a point to be friendly with the native tribes that are over there, because the Spaniards were not. The Spaniards were fucking absolutely ruthless when it came to the natives on the land. Like they tried to enslave them and all this shit. But obviously, as we know through history, eventually the English would try to do the same. So,
right.
Nobody was innocent in that aspect, but, I guess the Spanish, like Spaniards were very ruthless when it came to, trying to grab, territory in the Americas. So,
yeah, that's another, problem that the colonists had was, the Spanish could come and try to take over. They were concerned about that. And I am a product of the Spanish and Native America. So
I believe like when they were trying to establish this colony, they were going after Chesapeake Bay, but like I said, because of the shallows and stuff, they couldn't really quite get in there. So they ended up on the Roanoke Island. But they wanted to be into the bay so that the Spanish couldn't fucking see them. And they were kind of exposed out on Roanoke Island. But go ahead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 1606. You're right, Kevin. It was chartered by King James I. It's a joint stock company called the Virginia Company of London. Interesting.
Now, is that the same King James as far as like the King James Bible, or was that after or before?
Good question.
That's a good question.
Yeah, because I know like they just reuse all those names for the royalty. So.
They do.
Dude, I want to find out.
All right, well, I can go a little bit more into the notes while you're looking that up if you want me to.
He also commissioned the rich and poetic translation of the Bible that is known as the King James Bible.
There we go. He was a busy guy.
Son.
He wore many hats.
Dude, you should see the hat he's wearing right now. Holy shit. Never seen a hat like that. Okay.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
All right, so kind of rounding out the just kind of background on the Lost Colony, this is going to be the section that most listeners and viewers are probably familiar with. So a few days after Virginia Dare was born, her grandfather, Mr. White, returned to England to seek more supplies and soldiers for the colony. And before he left, he told the colonists to carve a message and a cross into a tree if they had to abandon the colony for any reason. And when he returned 3 years later, because he kept getting delayed when he was in England, again, anything could go wrong, did. The fort was abandoned when he got back, and all the shelters were torn down. And the word Croatan, or Croatonin, some people pronounce it, was carved into a tree trunk. And then the word CRO, or the letter CRO, rather, were carved into another nearby tree. So it looked like they were trying to carve the entire word into that tree trunk and didn't have time to finish it. But there was no cross on either one of these trees. And he specifically said, you know, put a cross. So, you know, that was like the sign.
Yeah.
So this led White to assume that they had kind of like left of their own free will because they didn't, you know, give the sign of the cross. But I kind of don't know about that, because why would they just like partially carve the word in another tree if they weren't like leaving in a rush, you know? But anyway, so the Croatan Indians lived on a nearby island, and it is what is now Hatteras Island on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And at that point, the ship's captain that brought Mr. White back, he demanded that they leave immediately. And so White never saw Virginia Dare or any of his family again. So that's kind of the background, the long and short of it. And I'm sure we'll get into thoughts and theories and whatever else you guys want to now.
Yeah. So also to add to that, when he came back there, they used some of the shelters as like a fencing, like they tried to make a perimeter around the village. There was no bodies. All the provisions were gone. So that led to him to believe that they left. But when he went the first time that he went there, he had jumped on somebody else's ship to get there because he couldn't get funding and shit, like you said, for 3 years. And he finally got this one captain to agree to go over there. And the captain wasn't interested in finding anybody from the colony. He was interested in what he was doing. And I can't remember exactly what he was doing, but he was like, come on, let's go. He's like, I got to find them. He's like, no, we're leaving. Either you're going to stay here by yourself or you're coming with us. So he went back with them. And he would spend, I think, the rest of his life trying to get back over here to find his family. And he ended up passing away in his early 60s, I think.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I don't think he lived like a super long time after all this happened.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was near
depression and the son of a bitch. Yeah, yeah, he was in his 60s.
Did he try to fight Jake Paul by chance?
He was probably good for at least 6 or 7 rounds.
Yeah, yeah. But one of the theories that they didn't leave on their own accord is that, so there was another tribe, I can't remember, but they used to fight with the Croatoan. And all that. I can't fucking remember the tribe name, but anyways, so there was an expedition that did go over there. It was a naval ship or something like that. And I there's not a whole lot of information on the story, but, apparently this other tribe like stole some gold or something off the ship or broke like this cup or something, some glass or some, I don't know, and they ended up fighting with them, and then I think that tribe killed somebody in the Navy. So then one of the times that they went back to the colony in on Roanoke, there was some Croatoan, or no, this is what happened. I apologize. They went to this tribe's village, but it was abandoned, and they came across 4 Croatoan men, and they assumed that they were a part of this other tribe, and they killed them. And then the Croatoan and the English were at odds for a little bit, but they ended up explaining, you know, oh shit, our bad. We thought they were, you know, you guys all look the same, kind of thing. And so like, they ended up apparently mending that wound, but like a lot of, like, they kind of thought that maybe it wasn't completely healed, and the Croatoan took the colony captive. So that was one of the theories that happened there. So, but other than that, my favorite theory is that they went to live with the Croatoan, and they lived as the Croatoan did. That's my favorite theory.
Well, there's kind of another similar theory out there. So in 1607, the Jamestown settlement was, you know, started, commenced, built, whatever. And this is
John Smith, right?
Yeah, this is John Smith, like from the Disney Pocahontas movie. This is that story. But, you know, like in the movie, Pocahontas is jumping off this tall mountain. This happened in Virginia. There's no tall mountains on the coast of Virginia. But anyway, it's better for the animation, I guess. But when they started this Jamestown settlement, he was supposedly told that the Roanoke settlers had split into like 2 different bands or 2 different groups. And some of them were killed by like the local natives, but some of them still lived nearby. And it's been suggested that they mingled with the Pembroke Indian tribe, because some members of that tribe, like even to this day, have like light hair and pale skin and blue eyes. So they think that like some members of the Croatan and Pembroke tribes, you know, just mingled throughout the years and lived together. And that's kind of why they have those traits even to this day.
I mean, maybe, yes. Maybe some of my brothers are light skinned. You ever think about that?
Yeah.
Yes. But to have blue eyes is
that's an unusual trait. Like, mm-hmm.
So John Smith wrote about it in his memoirs or diaries, whatever the fuck you want to call it, that when he was taken captive by one of the, either the Pembroke or the Croatoan tribe at one time. But obviously they didn't do anything to him because, I think they thought that he was there to like fuck with them or something. But anyways, he said that he noticed that, you know, a couple of the tribesmen had, like you said, light skin, light hair, mm-hmm. and blue eyes. And for that time to have those traits are a little bit, you know, mixing. And I think, can't remember the guy's name. Was it Lane, the governor?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, he. Apparently, he had an issue with the fact that white people would integrate with an indigenous tribe, and
Ralph Lane was his name.
Yeah, yeah. So he didn't want that. He didn't want that to come out as like a true thing, because he was like, "This isn't right. We're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. They're heathens. They're godless heathens. Blah 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 blah. Whatever the words that they used for that time." So he did. He like made sure that looking for the lost colony was went stagnant. So, mm-hmm. But obviously we don't know that for facts. I think it's more of a speculation. But yeah, they around that time, shortly after, I think it was right after White died, they just stopped even trying to find them.
So I found some scientific stuff that's been added to this mystery. You guys want to hear that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. 2023, there are some groundbreaking developments that shed new light on this centuries-old mystery. And it goes like this. Through meticulous DNA analysis and comparison with genetic material from the historic artifacts and human remains found at the original colony site, scientists have stumbled upon remarkable revelation. A genetic link exists, indicating the presence of living descendants of the long-lost colony. So, the findings suggest that some of the Roanoke colonists may have integrated into the local Native American communities, becoming a part of their society and passing on their genetic heritage through the generations. This insight into their fate offers a glimpse into the chapter of history that has been long murky at best. So if you find their DNA, then yeah. That's what happened.
That's pretty much a smoking gun at that point, isn't it?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. So definitely that's what happened. I mean, because you didn't see like a whole lot of bodies when they came back. They didn't, you know, nothing washed ashore. Like if they did a mass kind of suicide or something like that. So that didn't show up. They just disappeared. But they didn't really disappear. They integrated. And they probably They probably had to do that to survive. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, 3 years... It had been 3 years where they didn't get any shipment of anything. So like, I mean, the Croatoan have been living there for years, living off the land, and they've been good. I definitely, that's a theory that I support for a long time, though. I will say that I was thinking that fucking Bigfoot came up there and was like, "Hey guys,
you want to go to the other dimension?"
We don't have confirmation that that didn't happen. So. But no, yeah, Kevin, I thought it was cool what you said about like they tried to keep this under wraps as far as like the intermingling of the two groups because, you know, they were savages and whatever. And, you know, I always
thought, Oren.
I didn't say, that's what they said. I'm it was quoting. The implication. Yeah, I'm quoting. All right. But anyway, because I always thought that this is one of those like Occam's razor type situations. The simplest solution is probably the correct one. Like some of them died off either by, you know, just the inhospitable winters or attacks from other tribes. And then some of them intermingled with the tribes. Like I think that people try to mystify this story and make it, you know, kind of more exciting than it probably really is. And I always wondered why that was. And I think kind of, Kevin, you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've been speculating as of lately, because I definitely got down with like, there was also a story that I had heard that, there was a woman, which I think might have been, it was maybe White's daughter, that she went like crazy bloodthirsty and like went fight either the natives or just started fighting with everybody in the colony or something like that and led them to their doom or and stuff like that. And now they all haunt that area and this and that. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that their spirits are, you know, dwelling on the island, and mm-hmm. you know, if you're out there at night, or which Is there a community on that island right now? Because I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, so actually, that whole Outer Banks area, it's a very cool area. It's basically just like, for the listeners and viewers who don't know, the state of North Carolina, like as you see it on a map, there's like this whole little band of islands on like off the coast of the state. And where we're talking about Roanoke, Hatteras, all that is on this band of islands known as the Outer Banks. So like you can take a ferry across to the Outer Banks. You can basically drive from the top of the Outer Banks to the bottom and vice versa. It runs basically the entire length of the state. But yeah, there's all these like little beach communities to this day, like all up and down the Outer Banks. And in Manteo, North Carolina, which is one of these little towns, they have this like big outdoor amphitheater. And since 1937, they have put on like this big outdoor play every year called The Lost Colony. And it like kind of reenacts the story of everything we've just talked about. So I saw that like when I was a kid, but I haven't been back to the Outer Banks since like high school. But yeah, it's pretty cool that like all this stuff is still very much alive in that area.
Yeah. So native North Carolinian, how bad do the winters get down there?
You know, it depends. There's been winters where I've worn shorts and flip-flops on Christmas Day, and then there's been winters where it gets like 9 degrees. You know, it really depends. But if, you know, we're talking about in the 1500s and you have no infrastructure and like don't know how to survive. You know, farm the land and survive, I mean, it definitely gets cold enough for that to wipe people out, I think.
Yeah, I could see that, because I was thinking, because every time I've ever been to North Carolina, when it's cold up here, it's very nice down there, and I'm in a t-shirt and stuff, and I'm just like, every time I listen or read about this story, and they're talking about the winters, I'm like, does it even get that bad? But again, back in those times, especially, well, because they're coming from England, and England's not, you know, tropical in any kind of fucking way. So I feel like that they, in that aspect, it, but then again, the land is also different, so it's farmed different. But yeah, I was like, how harsh can that winter be? But like, again, like you said, in that time, not having any kind of like infrastructure, like they didn't have any insulating thing or anything like that. They didn't have, you know, spray foam anything
like you
when
said,
they built their buildings.
Like when they arrived, it was already late in the season. So like it would have been harder for them to like dig in the earth because it was already, you know, the ground had gotten harder and things like that. So yeah, it was just, like we said, one thing after the next. But yeah, I mean, it's all relative. It definitely doesn't get as cold as it does like up there where you're at. But I mean, if you're basically stuck all winter in a stick shack at best, that probably would wipe out a lot of people.
Yeah, I could definitely see that for sure. So yeah, my favorite theory is that they integrated with the local tribes and they survived that way, and they passed on joining lineage with the tribes. So
it was probably the smarter thing to do, because if you're there, you don't know how to do anything, it's cold, and you have like barely enough to survive. What do? You stay there and die, or do you go with the people who have lived there all their lives and know how to survive it? It just seems like a common sense choice. Right.
Yeah. So.
Also, yeah. I've been through North Carolina. I didn't get a chance to stay. I was on my way to Virginia, and they got a speeding ticket, man.
Hey, we'll do that to you. I'm sorry. Yeah. I take no responsibility for our law enforcement here. I don't like them either.
I'll say this. I did not like North Carolina after that. But, hey, talking to you, Oren, I'm changing my mind about North Carolina. I might actually go back.
Well, it's like anywhere. There's good places and not good places. If you're ever down here, I'll show you some of the not as bad places. How about that?
All right. I'm in.
The area for Encounter Quest is interesting. There's a little section where it's really nice, and then there's a section where I'm like, this is an interesting area.
Yeah. Like I said, when we were talking about this before, I've lived in North Carolina my entire life, and I had never been to that area before, whatever, a couple years ago for Encounter Quest. But Kevin, if you're ever in the area, we'll definitely show you Raleigh and all it has to offer. It's like actually a city and not in the middle of nowhere. So. But
live down there, so.
Yeah. Did any of you guys run across anything about like the Virginia Dare and the White Deer legend in any of y'all's research on this?
I have not.
Okay, so this is just like a little piece of folklore that kind of ties into the story. I've got just like a few little notes about it if you would be interested in me sharing those.
Please.
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay, so we were kind of talking about like all the conclusions and theories on what happened with the colony and whatnot, but so this legend has kind of sprung out of this story and what happened ultimately to Virginia Dare, which again was the first English child born in the Americas. But the story says that the Croatan tribe chief, whose name was Mantio, warned the settlers of an attack from Chief Powhatan, which was the chief of a rival tribe. And these people were integrated into that tribe. And when Virginia Dare grew up, she was very beautiful and, of course, had like many suitors. And her two main suitors were a brave hunter and a medicine man. And the medicine man's name was Chico, I think is how it would be pronounced, C-H-I-C-O. And ultimately, Virginia Dare chose the brave, whose name was Okisko, O-K-I-S-K-O. And so the medicine man was kind of furious that Virginia chose the young brave, and he tricked her into drinking a potion that he had concocted. And when Virginia Dare drank the potion, she was transformed into a white deer. And so when she was transformed into this deer, she realized that she could not return to her village because they'd hunt her, basically. So she fled into the forest. And hunters throughout the years have said that they spotted this white deer in the forest, but were never able to kill it. And that they said it acted kind of more like a spirit than an actual real living creature. And so the great hunter set out to kill this spirit deer, and he used silver-tipped arrows, supposedly, to do this, which I thought was kind of an interesting detail. It kind of gets in with, like, werewolf lore and things like that, and, you know, you got to kill these supernatural beings with silver. But he stalked the deer until it stopped to drink from a stream, and then he shot it with one of these arrows. But the deer kind of let out like a human scream, and at that point he realized that it was a human who had been bewitched and not just a regular deer. And in some versions of the story, at that point the deer returned to its physical form, which was Virginia Dare. And
like a werewolf, right?
Yeah, like exactly. Werewolf. And as she died, she said to him, you know, "I am Virginia Dare." And like to this day, you know, there's ghost stories about white deers or a white deer being seen on Hatteras Island. And people, you know, still say, "Oh, it's the ghost of Virginia Dare or Virginia Dare and the white deer." So just kind of a little fun ghost story that ties into this whole thing.
Interesting that she chose the jock and not the Harry Potter version of American Indians, you know. Isn't that always the case?
The medicine man got the last laugh, I guess.
Yeah.
And the medicine men were always like older too. Like they didn't establish as a medicine man until they were older. So I was picking somebody young and resilient and physically capable of providing was back then was the more substantiating choice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Indian legend of the deer lady that this kind of reminds me of, but the deer lady is more will present herself as a woman, a beautiful woman, and kind of like bewitch a guy, bring her into the forest, and that dude is never heard from again, generally.
Interesting. And then she turns into a deer?
And she turns into a deer. And she just lives in the forest, and whenever she's hungry, she'll come back to the city. And it's said that natives can see her feet, and they're not human feet. They're hooves. So that's how they can tell that she's a deer lady.
Wow.
It's interesting. It's an interesting old legend.
Indian legend. It is interesting. There's also something that I heard of lately is, you know, natives, they used to be like, how, when they hold their hand up like that, it was so that they could tell that you had five fingers and not like like if you had extra or fucking like a hoof or something fucking weird about your hand, they were like, fuck that guy.
So they could make sure you weren't a Nephilim?
Yeah, because I guess Nephilim have six fingers, supposedly. I don't know that for sure. That's just a fucking thing that I've heard. You've killed my father. Prepare to die.
Got it right away. About, holy shit.
Yeah, I talked about that. We talked about that on the horror movie episode. I couldn't remember the guy's name. It's and then Rachel messaged me, Inigo Montoya or something like that.
That's it.
My dad was young, he looked exactly like that guy in that movie. Exactly. Really? Yes.
Mandy Patinkin. Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they don't look anything alike now.
Yeah,
but my dad had that fucking 80s male style hair with the fucking singular mustache, you know. So, but yeah, fucking yeah. So that's the theory I support. For a long time, I thought fucking the ghost story of like the woman being like crazed, and they went on like a war path of some kind and they all ended up dying. I don't believe that at all anymore, now that I know more about the story. American Horror Story did a pretty interesting job telling that story, and that was, I think that's one of the reasons why I continued to believe in the ghost story of the missing Roanoke colony, is because of American Horror Story. I think that season came out in like 2019 or 2018, one or the other. And American Horror Story, every season has been great. That one was as well, except for that one chick. She also plays in the show Ratchet and stuff like that. Continuous crying annoyed the fuck out of me in that season. It's just, I was like, her voice is annoying the shit out of me at this point. But yeah, no, I believed in the ghost story for a long time. That's what I think. It's the most legible to me. And I do think that the English government was like, you know, we can't let this like people know that they integrated with a heathen tribe, a godless tribe, and how dare they, you know, mix their DNA with non-white peoples. So I think they tried to keep it under wraps, and I think that's what happened. So
yeah, I think that's my opinion. Like you said, I mean, I agree with you 100%. I think, the ghost stories and the kind of weirder side of it are fun to talk about and think about. But yeah, it's very simple and straightforward what actually happened. And like David was saying in the article, we've basically got the smoking gun at this point. But like I said earlier, the aspect of basically they kept this under wraps and maybe even perpetuated some of these more like paranormal ghost type stories because of basically very thinly veiled racism. I think that's an interesting way of looking at it, and makes a lot of sense. So that was really cool. Thank you for bringing all that up.
It does. So I think we covered pretty much everything. I appreciate you guys for coming on. We'll have to do another one soon on another topic. I had something that I was going to fucking say, and I do this fucking all the time. But I guess, again, we'll just go, we'll go through the ending, where you guys just let everybody know one more time where they can find you in your perspective shows. So, Oren, go ahead if you don't mind doing that.
Okay, so, again, my name is Oren Felix. I'm part of the Bizarre Encounters podcast with my buddy Shane Jones, our mutual friend. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to get up with me directly, Instagram is where I'm most active. It's at the Framework UFO, but you guys can find it either through the show page or Kevin's page. I'm not that hard to find if you want to get up with me for any reason whatsoever. That's the best way to do it. And Kevin, as always, thank you for inviting me on. And David, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you, Oren. I appreciate you so fucking much. And David, one more time, if you don't mind letting everybody know where they can find you in your shows.
I'm David from Down the Rabbit Hole. You can find me on Instagram. If you want to be specific, type Down the Rabbit Hole. I should be the first one. But if not, _ down the dot rabbit hole _ is the actual. Also on Facebook, we're on YouTube, TikTok, whatever, X, whatever you want to call it. I'm also co-host of One Nothing Podcast, and we're on every podcast. You can find us anywhere, so definitely look for that. And of course, co-host of Weird Java in the Morning. It's happening tomorrow morning live. So check us out, guys. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it. I love these Conspiracy Tuesdays, brother.
I appreciate both of you guys. I appreciate your friendship. And yeah, this was a lot of fun. And I love doing Conspiracy Tuesdays. It's been a while since I've done one. So, and we were originally supposed to have a third, but she wasn't able to attend, so, but that's okay. That's okay. I think we did a good job. So I will say, you know, if you guys haven't checked out Weird Java in the Morning, it's every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. I started my own coffee company called Weird Java.
It's fucking good. So, man.
And I do have hot sauce, and I do have a supplement brand coming out soon. Just I want to try it all before I try and sell it to you guys. So, but anyways, that is today's show. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you listening. It means a lot to me. You know, if you weren't here, I'd still have these conversations. So the fact that you are here, I appreciate it. And with that being said, please like, follow, share, subscribe, leave a rating and review if you feel like doing so. If your catcher doesn't allow you to leave a review, you can leave a review on the website where the Weird Ones Are podcast.com. That is also where you can get the coffee, the hot sauce, and hopefully soon the supplements, as well as merch. There's a lot of cool shirts that I have out there, even Karate Chops Kill Ghosts. That's probably one of my favorites at the moment. And I think that's it. So remember, everybody, question everything and stay weird.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.
Because in the end, none of us have very long on this earth. Life is fleeting. And if you're ever distressed, cast your eyes to the summer sky. When the stars are strung across the velvety night, and when a shooting star streaks through the blackness, turning night into day. Thank you. make a wish.